Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12, Perfect Society, Four Spiritual Classes, Text Number 8. Kesha Prasadanon Marada Snapanabhyanjanadikam Guru Shibir Yuvatibi Karyan Natmano Yuva. Kesha Prasadana. Brushing the hair. Unmarda. Massaging the body. Snapana. Bathing. Abhyanjana, adikam, massaging the body with oil and so on. Guru Sribi, by the wife of the spiritual master. Yuvatibi, very young. Karyat, she's allowed to do. Na, never. Atmana, for personal service. Yuva, if the student is a young man. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If the wife of the spiritual master is young, a young brahmachari should not allow her to care for his hair, massage his body with oil, or bathe him with affection like a mother. Purport. The relationship between the student or disciple and the wife of the spiritual master or teacher is like that between mother, son and mother. A mother sometimes cares for his son by combing his hair. Anyone's mother here ever comb your hair? What's that? Yeah, that's why you have nice hair. Massaging his body with oil. Anyone's mother's massage your body with oil? Johnson, yeah, yes, baby oil. You remember?
I mean, I have pictures, so.
Oh, yeah. Fond memory. Picture. Or bathing him. Similarly, the wife of the teacher is also, a mother, Guru Patni, and therefore she may also care for the disciple in a motherly way. If the wife of the teacher is a young woman, however, a young brahmachari should not allow such a mother to touch him. This is strictly prohibited. There are seven kinds of mothers. Atma Mata Guru Patni Brahmani Raja Patnika Denor Datri Tata Pritim Pritvi Snap Taita Matara Smrita. These mothers are the original mother, wife of the teacher or spiritual master, the wife of a brahmana, the king's wife, the cow, the nurse, and the earth. A necessary association with women, even when one's mother, sister, or daughter is strictly prohibited. This is human civilization. A civilization that allows men to mix unrestrictedly with women is an animal civilization. In Kali Yuga, people are extremely liberal. But mixing with women and talking with them as equals actually constitutes an uncivilized way of life. Kesha prasadanon marada snapana vyanjanadikam guru stribir yuvatibi karyan atmano yuva. If the wife of the spiritual master is young, a young brahmachari should not allow her to care for his hair. Because brahmachari is here after you shave. If you have a Sikh like mine, you can allow anyone to take care of your hair. It's quite easy. Massage his body with oil, or bathe him with affection like a mother. Explains why. A woman is compared to fire, and a man is compared to a butter pot. Therefore, a man should avoid associating even with his own daughter in a secluded place. Similarly, he should also avoid association with other women. One should associate with women only for important business and not otherwise. Purport of a body, butter pot, and fire are kept together, the butter within the pot will certainly melt. Woman is compared to fire, and man is compared to a butter pot. However advanced one may be in restraining the senses, it is almost impossible for a man to keep himself controlled in the presence of a woman, even if she is his own daughter, mother, or sister. Indeed, his mind is agitated even if he is in the renounced order of life. Therefore, Vedic civilization carefully restricts mingling between men and women. If one cannot understand the basic principle of restraining association between man and woman, he is to be considered an animal. This is the purport of this verse. Well, there's a lot of animals nowadays. It's not uncommon to find someone who's like an animal. In this universe, everyone is in the bodily concept of life. There may be a few self-realized persons, or even a few Brahma bodies, but 99.99% of the living entities in this material universe are all in the bodily concept of life. And when one is in the bodily concept of life, generally speaking, one doesn't believe when one is in bodily concept of life. One thinks he is the body. They don't think it's a conception. They think it's reality. And that when we're talking about spiritual life, they believe it's some kind of like fairy tale. It's something like when you go to sleep at night, that's your spiritual life, when you dream. Therefore, because people don't know that they're in the material concept of life, therefore they don't know why they're in the material concept of life. They don't question, I'm in the material concept of life. And then the next question would be, why am I in the material concept of life? So they don't even know they're in the material concept of life. And if they're told, it's because of the relationship between men and women, or nowadays between something, man and something. Therefore, they don't take it very seriously. They don't see any harm associating with women. Matter of fact, or women with men, as a matter of fact, they think that's the whole purpose of life. They believe, chintyam aparmeyam cha pralayantam upashitya, kama pavoga paramam etavam iti nischitya. They believe that to actually gratify the senses is a prime necessity of human civilization. That's why civilization is there, to help us gratify our senses. That's why people like to live in a city, because they can go to the restaurant, they can go to the movies, they can go to the hair salon, everything's there to help them gratify their senses. All they need is a good credit card and their life is perfect. And therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. Therefore, although people are very much interested in gratifying their senses, they don't understand why they're in anxiety. They want to sit down for meditation for 15 minutes, to get free from the anxiety, and then go out and do everything that's causing their anxiety. They don't think contemplating the objects of the senses is causing them problems. They think that's love. Anything that they're contemplating, they actually believe is actually love. Therefore, they love their dog. They love their car. They love their house. They love their job. They love themselves. And they also love their wife and children and everything else. Everything is love. It's all love, love, love. And if we tell people it's all lust, people will actually get offended. Just like here it says that it's not good for men to associate with women, and people will think that these people are crazy. They're really, they're some kind of strange cult. Just like someone wrote a book many years ago about the strange sex life of the Hare Krishna movement. Do you know what the strange sex life of the Hare Krishna movement is? What's that? Yeah, she wrote in the book, she explained how they're celibate. That was called the strange sex life of the Hare Krishna movement. You ever saw that movie with Prithu Prabhu in Ireland called Garbage in Bed? You saw that? It's Prithu in Ireland, in Dublin, Ireland, playing on his harmonium. And he was invited on a show, popular show in Ireland. And the other guest that was invited was some lady, was an author of a book called, what was it called? Perfect in Bed or something. And it was all about some famous actors, how their exploits in bed. So they asked Prithu, after they introduced the book, and Prithu said, any comments? And Prithu said, this is not called perfect in bed or whatever it was. This is garbage in bed. And at that time, Ireland was quite conservative. This is like 20, 30 years ago. And all the audience, yay! And they all cheered him. Nowadays they think, what? Get this guy off the show. And then Prithu plays his harmonium. Hare Krishna. So people think that this is the purpose of life. And to deny that, just like Prabhupada had one disciple who was an early editor of Bhakti Godhead. As a matter of fact, he was the first editor of Bhakti Godhead. And one day he left the movement and he started to complain that Swamiji, at that time Prabhupada was called Swamiji, is denying love. So what happened is that this particular devotee wrote to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I just can't, I want to live with my boyfriend. Prabhupada said, you can't do that if you're going to be the editor of Bhakti Godhead. And he wouldn't give it up, so he left. And started to claim Prabhupada's denying love. So this is the material concept of life, what love is. And anyone who goes against that has become labeled as some kind of reactionary. Not keeping up with modern times. Even in our society, this idea that men should be separated from women is considered in some societies actually practically illegal. They probably arrest you. That discrimination. And the social pressure is such that you're considered uncivilized if you don't associate with women, if you don't give them free play, if you don't, if you don't embrace them, you're considered to be antisocial. If you don't kiss them, you're considered to be amoral, cold, insensitive. I want to hold your hand. So this is modern society. And people can't understand why there's so many problems. Why there's so many social problems. That marriage in most parts of the so-called civilized world is just an idea. Something that people used to do in ancient times. That if there's marriage, it's many times it's, lady with lady, they get married. because they need some association, or men with men, or maybe you buy a parakeet. So this whole thing is just degrading. Who knows? It's Kali Yuga. Oh, my parakeet. Ooh, she loves me. So, this is how Kali Yuga gets degraded. The moral one becomes absorbed in sense gratification. Then the moral one loses, one goes into the lower modes of material nature. Dumena vriyate vanir yatara darsho malena cha yatobena avrita garvas tata tena idam avrita. Just like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. Therefore, it's very difficult for people to understand. The more they get absorbed in such a culture, then the more difficult it is for them to understand spiritual knowledge. There are different levels of intelligence. The trees have the least amount of intelligence, although they have intelligence. Actually, it says in the Bhagavatam that the fish in the water, they have the least amount of intelligence. Hard to understand, but anyhow. And the trees are further development of intelligence, and you have the animals and the mammals and human beings. But that intelligence is actually meant to understand the difference between matter and spirit. So we can understand how much spiritual intelligence we have. Because after all, material intelligence goes all the way up to Brahma, where you can control the universe in a very sophisticated way. But beyond that is spiritual intelligence. And we can understand how much spiritual intelligence we have by just hearing that verse. Deno sminita dehe kamaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptir diryas tatra namuyati. That the embodied soul, which happens to be ourselves, whoever we may be, sleep in this body, are passing from boy in a body that goes from boyhood to youth to old age, and so similarly the soul will enter into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by these changes. So how much that actually affects us? We think, oh, that's a nice idea. It's another philosophy. So much philosophy. Another philosophical point. But it happens to be reality. The fact that we're going through so many bodies, it's not some kind of, oh, this is philosophy. No, it's science. Who can say that their body's not changing? And who can say that their body's going to get younger? No, everybody is going from boyhood to youth to old age. And so, since we're not changing, we're the same person who's conscious of all these different changes of body. So why will we cease to exist when the final change comes about? We exist throughout all these changes, so there's another change called death, so we'll also exist. Now, if one cannot understand that at all, one thinks, oh yeah, big guy, you know, this is your idea. That's your Hindu philosophy. Hindus have bodies that change, and Hindus have souls that don't change. That's your Hindu philosophy. I'm a Christian. At the time of my death, I go into the earth, and I wait for my bones to be resurrected. Or other ideas, you know, after you die, you go to the heavenly planets, and there is your whole family, they're resurrected with you. And then there's father and mother, and the grandparents are... Somehow or another, the grandparents are old and the father and mother are young. You're the youngest. And Jesus is at the table and you're all having a nice feast. And everyone's happy, you know, in heaven. Except for the poor turkey. Because that has a knife in its back and it's rather painful. And some back problem. I need an adjustment. Is there a chiropractor around here? So this is the conception. People are completely in ignorance. And yet they think they're super intelligent. They know everything. Not only they're not only intelligent, but they know everything that needs to be known. But they know nothing about who they are. Therefore, for them, they're on the level of the animals, the cows and the asses. And therefore, for them, the whole life is meant for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So any restriction is considered to be abominable. Any second not gratifying the senses, they consider a waste of time. Excuse me, sir, would you take a look at this book? I don't have time. I got to gratify my senses. Don't you see? I got. You know, I'm in a hurry. But this is about spirit. Well, I have. You know, I'm the most spiritual person. Me and my wife are really spiritual. So the Bhagavatam will not be appreciated by people in general. Just like people buy the Bhagavatam and they open it up and they look at it and they think, well, I can't understand that. Maybe if it's upside down, hey, that makes more sense. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is supposed to be read from the beginning, from the first canto. Otherwise, someone comes to class and hears the Bhagavatam and they say that, oh, for a man to associate with a woman unrestrictedly is degrading. Oh my God, these people are crazy. They we got to get rid of them. They're going to contaminate the children. Yeah, in some places they actually made it illegal for the devotees to have a temple too close to a school because they were afraid that the children would get contaminated with these ideas. So to think that women are, you know, to even claim that women are less intelligent, immediately people will challenge, but, you know, there's so many intelligent women, they do better in school and things like that. But it has nothing to, that intelligence is fine. The women could be much more intelligent. Saraswati, the goddess of learning, is much more intelligent than any man on this planet. So there's no question of that kind of intelligence. But the intelligence understands the difference between matter and spirit. It's more difficult, that's all. Unless a woman actually realizes that I'm in the body of a woman, I'm not a woman. When women would, when ladies would complain to Prabhupada, you know, they're saying that women are less intelligent. So Prabhupada said, if you think you're a woman, then you're less intelligent. So that's where that's the spiritual intelligence. Where the demarcation between real intelligence, important intelligence, spiritual intelligence, and material intelligence. So, men are in men's body, women are in women's body, and they're made to attract each other. If they weren't made to attract each other, there wouldn't be a material world. No one would, everyone would be bored to think, oh my God, might as well go back to Godhead. This place is ridiculous. It's so boring, nothing's happening. It said that Brahma created a man, he was sitting around, he wasn't doing anything. He was completely bored, there was nothing to do. And then he created a woman, and he was engaged 26 hours a day. Because there's a natural attraction. Even a great devotee prays, when will I become attracted to Krishna, naturally attracted to Krishna, just like a young boy is naturally attracted to a young girl. When a young boy sees an attractive young girl, he doesn't have to figure out, maybe I should go to school and learn how to become attracted. No, it's spontaneous. Similarly, when a young girl sees a young boy, she naturally becomes attracted. That's how the material nature works. And if we don't believe that the material nature works, has any potency, we'll just think about how all these living entities throughout the whole universe, they're all in the bodily concept of life, although we have nothing to do with the body. How amazing that is. How amazing Krishna's energies are. You don't have to look at Krishna moving the planets in their orbit. Just look at how we ourselves are eternal souls and we're completely absorbed in the material concept, completely absorbed in a material dream and a material drama which we take so seriously. Anyone dares offend my body, what to speak of just gross sense gratification, even subtly, how anyone does not give me profit, How much profit did I make today? How much I'm distinct? How much people recognize how different I am from everyone? How unique I am? And adoration, how everyone should love me and appreciate me for different reasons. So we're concerned about that. Anyone says something bad about us, we feel depressed or we get angry. How dare you say anything bad about me? Who's you? It doesn't matter who I am. It's about me. But you're not that body. Hey, what are you criticizing me for more? You don't like my body. So people will die to maintain their false prestige. Or they'll work hard, they'll get big buildings so everyone can see how wonderful they are. They themselves can't even, you know, they're hunched over, they have every disease in the book. But they say, here's me, that building, that's me. So we'll expand our false ego as much as, in some way or another, just to believe that we're actually something significant. And then at the time of leaving the body, at the time of death, we're completely overwhelmed. My God, I can't, don't leave me, body. I don't want to leave you, I love you. You're everything I have. And then, and so much so that people come back as, you know, they'll break free of the Yamadutas. I'm staying here. You go back to Yama. I'm staying here. Even if I'm a ghost, I'll stay here. I'm not leaving. I'm just waiting for everyone to come and cry over my dead body. Oh, he was so wonderful. Check in his pocket, see if he has any money. They love me. Anyhow, so here are these restraints of the brahmachari and the young grihastha. These will maybe understood partly by devotees who've gone up, who've actually systematically read up to the seventh chapter. But in the background, the whole social pressure is, you gotta be friendly. You can't be antisocial. You gotta be up to the times. You wanna preach? You can't be so weird. You gotta be normal, you know. Oh, I gotta hold it. Let me hold your hand. Let's embrace. We're all the same. There's no difference. Men, women, cats, dogs, we're all the same. Only the poor cow is different. We all have a soul. We are a soul except for the poor cow. He's not a soul, he's just a machine. So people have lost their intelligence, and they'll continue to lose their intelligence, and there'll continue to be problems. Because as one advances the mode of ignorance, then the mode of ignorance is meant for destruction, suicide, frustration, violence, destruction. People become more and more crazy. And that's where Kali Yuga is advancing. All driven by illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and lying and cheating. So I'll stop there because we'll say more, but not today. Any questions or comments?
There's one question, Maharaj.
Yes.
If someone is asking if on the heavenly planets they eat meat. If they eat meat on the heavenly planets.
Well, if I said no, would you still want to go there? I can tell you there's no McDonald's there. But I don't know. I mean, I'm at least, because in the actual heaven, they're all vegetarian. They only eat Krishna prasadam there. There's no... You don't get to heaven by eating meat. Anything else? Yes.
So, like, it's a point.
like it said in that verse in Bhagavad Gita, that every living entity is more or less covered with lust. So if we are in this body, is it ever possible to get free from lust in this body?
Yeah, of course. You put the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then becomes like fire. So if we're completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then our body will become completely spiritualized. There won't be anything that's... Material means forgetfulness of Krishna. And we're always remembering Krishna. There won't be any attraction. There won't be any impetus to gratify the senses because they'll be completely satisfied in ecstasy. It'll be unlimited pleasure. So what are you going to look for in the material world where there is no pleasure? Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itching sensation. But if there's no itch, then you don't have to scratch. Anything else? Yes.
I was wondering regarding yesterday's verse. It was described how there are different prescriptions for a brahmachari how to dress and behave and take care of himself. So I was wondering, okay, matted hair and the dress and all these things are to simplify the way of life, but what is the practical use of not cutting one's nails or not brushing one's teeth? How come is that also there? That was my...
Well, of course, their diet at that time was probably a lot more sattvic than ours is. And they probably chewed their food a lot better than we do. But why? Because they didn't waste their time in doing those things, caring for their body, at least at that time, when they were brahmacharis. I mean, we shouldn't think that the brahmacharis, you know, their teeth fell out or something. I mean, these are just injunctions for, you know, when you're 5 years old, whatever, up until a certain age. But whether, you know, how strictly they followed, you know, that's what it means practically, that's not explained here. I mean, they all had twigs and things like that. I think normally they did brush their teeth with twigs and things. And they probably, I don't know how they cut their nails back there. There are probably too many nail clippers. Somehow or another, there's some means of doing it. But those are not the most essential items for being a brahmachari. Look at me. I'm a real brahmachari. These are secondary things. Avoid getting too much absorbed in the bodily concept of life. That's all. They probably didn't have to have so many mirrors to smile at. Hey, wait a second, maybe I should brush my teeth. But we can understand, generally they had quite a healthy lifestyle. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.
Oh, we should have it for the